Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived there in that area. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in their numbers. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing there and begging him, "Oh, come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we're going through the book of Acts. We're finally at chapter 16. We'll get there eventually. There's quite a lot of chapters. So we've had, of course, Jesus ascending, saying, "Take my word out to through Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And we saw how people in Samaria became Christians, and Peter went up, prayed, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. And then we saw that Gentiles, people that were not Jews, were called Gentiles. We, if we're not Jewish, are Gentiles. And the Greeks were often referred to as Gentiles. So some Bible translations will have Greek, and some translations will have Gentiles. But there was a mass revival. Well, revival, the Holy Spirit was working in a place called Antioch, Syria, which is north of Israel. And Peter and Barnabas went up there to teach. And then the Holy Spirit told them, "You've got to take the message across Europe." So they went through modern-day Turkey, and they told everyone about Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. And hundreds became Christians, and all these small churches became planted across what is modern day Turkey. And that was the mission one. That was the first mission. And we're about to look at mission two, the second mission of Paul. But before we do, we're looking at friendship. And I was talking about friends earlier. How many of you have got a really crazy friends? Okay. I want to tell you about sometimes how friends can let you down. On my stag do, before I got married to Evelina, there was a stag do, and my brother-in-law was there. Richard, one of my close friends, was there. There's a lot of guys there who claim to be my friends. And we went bowling. And we played bowling. And then after we finished bowling, they grabbed me. They didn't kidnap me, they grabbed me. And they had a Manchester United shirt. And they held me down and put the Manchester United shirt over me. And I've been trying to cleanse myself ever since. Terrible friends. What kind of friend does that? But I want to a bit of confession time. I'm not an angel too, sadly. I want to tell you about something I did that I'm very ashamed of. Now, I was at Bible college, and I had a friend called Andy. He was from Vietnam. And every weekend, Andy would go to London on a coach, and he would minister to Vietnamese people in London. I think he had a book out, and he did lots of things. Well, one summer, when I was doing some work at the college, because we had some guests in, and Andy was a volunteer and I was a volunteer, and we had a few volunteers, I was at this cafe with a few students. I phoned Andy up with somebody else's phone, and I pretended to be from Christianity magazine and said, "Hi, I'm Andy. Is that Andy Lee?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I've heard amazing stuff about your ministry in London for Vietnamese missions. I would like tomorrow morning to come and interview you." Now, in my defense, his roommate knew this was a prank and he never told him. So poor Andy was up all night praying. I'd never meant it to go that far. And when I saw him in the morning at 9:30, he was in his shirt and tie. And I said, "Andy, who are you waiting for? You're not waiting for Christianity magazine by any chance." And he looked at me and he was not happy. So I'm confessing to you that I'm not always the greatest friend. What are you like as a friend? What are you like as a friend? You know, life is a long journey, isn't it? And it's full of ups and downs, and sometimes more ups and sometimes more downs. And it's really important, the people we're surrounded by. It's your friends matter to God. The people you spend time with matters to God, because they influence you. And sometimes those friends can influence you for the good. And sometimes you can have friends that influence you for the not so good. One verse I want to bring before you about friendship is Proverbs 18:24. And it says, "One who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that person," this is my words now, "that person is Jesus." What this verse is saying, it's lovely to have friends, isn't it? But I can guarantee you that whoever your friend is, they will let you down. And if you build your foundations, if you build your happiness on how your friends make you feel, one day they're going to let you down and you will be upset about it. But what the Bible says is there's one person who will never let you down, and that person is Jesus. He is your friend and can be your friend forever. The question is Jesus your friend? So let's move on now to the story. So we come up to chapter 16. Now, Paul's first mission was 3 years before chapter 16. So 3 years has been since he's been on the first mission. And I wonder, Stephen, if you put the first slide up for me. From the PDF. Let's have a look. So mission one was 3 years before mission two. So we had last week, Brian brought the message about a disagreement where Paul wanted to go and have a visit of all these churches and all these young Christians. Now, it's been 3 years, and he's thinking, I wonder how all these churches are doing. Barnabas, let's go. And Barnabas, of course, wanted John Mark, and there was a disagreement. Barnabas went off to Cyprus with John Mark. So it wasn't a great start. If we look at, if we go down, Stephen, a few slides, let's have a look. That's it. Mission, not impossible, but mission is possible. And the writing actually is very small. What the writing actually says is they had a really tough time. Do you remember all the weeks we've been looking at this? We had Paul getting stoned, almost dead, lots of opposition. It's not probably the greatest experience, but Paul wants to go back for round two. And he takes a guy called, anyone remember the name? Silas. Okay, he takes Silas. Do you remember what Silas's role was in chapter 15 couple of weeks ago? Remember, there was a massive argument. Some of the Jews were saying, you're not saved. You're not a Christian unless you've been circumcised, unless you follow the Jewish law. Yes, you are a believer, but you're not really saved unless you're fully Jewish. And Paul said, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're saved by grace. And there was an argument. And then Paul came to the church of Jerusalem, which was a Jewish church, and said to Peter, we need to sort this out. The church met the council of Jerusalem, and they said, it is by grace you have been saved. You don't have to follow the law and be circumcised and be Jewish. It is by grace. And I'll tell you what, we're going to send a church leader up to Antioch, up north. We're going to send a leader up north, two leaders actually. One of them was Barsabbas, the other was Silas. Silas's job was to go to the Gentile church in Syria, in Antioch, Syria, and tell the church, I want to encourage you. I know you've listened to what some of these people are saying, but it is by grace you have been saved. And Paul and Silas got to know each other. So mission two happened, and he takes Silas. This is churches together. How many people support churches together? Isn't it good when churches work together? Because Silas was from the church of Jerusalem. Paul was from the church of Antioch. Together, they both go and visit all the churches that have sprung up in the last 3 years and new Christians. It is churches together in action in the Bible. Psalm 133, verse 1. I'm sure some of you know this verse really well. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. The mission, the potential mission, was dangerous. I wonder, Stephen, if you just put the slide up, the second one, the next one. It's just a little map. And so mission two begins. What was Paul and what was Silas's main mission, apart from visiting? It was to encourage the church. It was to encourage the Christians and the church. Now, this isn't about Silas today, because we're introduced to a very lovely young man. His name, anyone guess? Timothy. Stephen, if you go to the next one. Here we have Timothy. We know that Timothy was from Lystra, one of the churches, and he probably became a Christian on the first mission. We know from 2 Timothy 1 that his mum's name is Eunice. We also know his grandmother's name, which is Lois. They were both believers, and they were inspirational and influential in Timothy coming to faith. Now, we know from Acts 16 that his father wasn't Jewish. He was Greek. So, in actual fact, you have a relationship between a Greek and a Gentile. And Timothy was a young man who believed, and Paul absolutely took to him. Paul was a lot older, but you know, Paul believed in young people. He was a believer that actually, look, it's not just about me and my generation. We need to encourage the younger adults, the younger people in their faith. Just as we need to encourage the children, we need to encourage our young people. We need to encourage the young adults in our church too. This is what Paul says about Timothy in Philippians 2, 20 to 22. And it's small print there, but I shall read it to you so you can see what it says. Philippians 2, 20 to 22 says this. I'll read from 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. This is about Timothy. I have no one else like Timothy who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Here is Paul wanting to disciple, wanting to encourage a young man, Timothy. And he saw himself as a father figure and Timothy as a son. So what do we know about Timothy? We know that people spoke well of him. You know, there's people here who said, oh, do you know that person? Oh, he's a lovely person. Everyone knew that Timothy was a lovely person. But we also know that everyone knew him because later on, they all knew his dad wasn't a Jew. And this is when we come to the point where Paul circumcised him. How many of you are confused now? Paul was arguing that to be a Christian, you don't have to be a religious Jew. And now he circumcised Timothy. And it's like, well, what's going on, Paul? You can't have both. He's saying it's not about salvation. And it wasn't about salvation. It wasn't about salvation. This was about appealing to the Jewish people. If I went to a gardener's club as a Christian and I wanted to have some kind of respect and I sat there and I thought, I don't know anything about plants or flowers. Or so, what are you doing here then? It's because I got nothing to bring. If Timothy had a message for the Jewish people, but they thought, well, you know, you're talking to us Jews and you're, you know, you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Immediately, a barrier comes up. So for the sake of the gospel, Timothy was circumcised. And Paul says, we know in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, this was Paul's attitude, okay? He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, for I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. He goes on, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. Timothy was willing to go as a man, to go through a lot of pain. A lot of pain. Why? Because he wanted to see the Jewish people saved. Just as Paul was teaching that too. What are you willing to do to bring the gospel message to your friends? Would you go through the pain barrier to bring the gospel? Would you sacrifice some of your time to bring the gospel to people? What are you willing to do to save, see people saved? Timothy wanted to relate to Jewish people. I went to the New Tribes Mission. Is that right? Yeah, New Tribes Mission. Everyone has heard of the New Tribes Mission. And the director was showing me round. And I said, where are some of the students? The students are now sleeping in tents in the park. Why? They've got rooms. They've got buildings. Because they need to understand the people that they're going to work with in the Amazon, in the jungles. It's all right them having a comfy bed and a lovely room, but they're going to be working in the jungle. They need to go and get a bucket for their water, to cook, to boil their water. They need to understand what other people are going through. That was what they were willing to do in their training. What are we willing to do? What are we prepared to do? If we go to the next slide, that's great. We know that Timothy was prepared to give. He was prepared to throw himself into spreading the gospel. And I just want to bring something else up. The mission one came through Turkey and back. Notice that the Holy Spirit stopped them from going the way they wanted. And actually, God said, no, you're not going here. You're going to go into Greece. So if you look at a map, Mission 2 didn't stop in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. It went all the way to Greece. And Timothy was ready to go. He was ready to change, ready to give, and he was ready to go. We need to be prepared to give of our time, of our services, and we need to be prepared to go. And someone said this in one of the sermons I listened to. When God says no, that's not always a bad thing. When God says no, we need to be prepared to go where perhaps we were not willing to. Paul was a good friend of Timothy. Timothy was a good friend of Paul. I want to finish with words that Paul wrote to encourage Timothy, a young leader. He says in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity." Let me pray before we finish. Lord God, we've learned about Timothy and how a young man with a young faith was willing to go through the pain barrier to bring the gospel to people, to the lost, to the Jewish people. Lord, we want to thank you that he was prepared to go and not stay in his comfort zone. And so, Lord, we focus now on what we can do. Lord, take what we have in our hands. Take our skills, abilities, the way we are. And Lord, help us to be prepared to go with your gospel message. Help us to be prepared to give, to bring the gospel to people. Amen.